Welcome to the Becoming Superhuman podcast. My name is Dr. Nirvani Umadat, and I spent years as a dentist, researcher, traveler of the world, an entrepreneur. Through helping thousands of people and my studies of conventional, ancient, and spiritual sciences, I've realized that merging science and spirituality is necessary for us to understand who we really are. I'm here to empower you to up-level your life, mind, body, and soul, and to become your own version of superhuman. Have you considered a detox to reset your body, rebalance your health, and really up-level where you're at physically, spiritually, emotionally, so that you can feel your best? Have you ever considered that a dental detox may be a critical step to you really stepping into your health goals? Today, we're going to talk about how your mouth is the gateway to the rest of your body and some practical steps that you can take today to engage in a dental detox to get you where your mouth feels healthier, your body feels healthier, and overall, you are feeling like your superhuman self. So what do I mean by dental detox? And what I'm going to start off by saying is if you have been involved in the health or wellness space, especially more recently, or are involved in the biohacking world, the idea of doing a gut detox or a gut reset or a gut microbiome reset is sort of old news. Like, we've been talking about that in health and wellness now for several years. And it is something that is not only incredibly beneficial, but for many people has made a really big transformation in their lives, in how they are able to consume food, and ultimately the type of nutritional value that they're getting from their foods. But our mouths are actually the first part of our digestive tract and the first part of our digestive system. So if we're advocating for gut detoxes and talking about gut health and talking about your gut microbiome and not talking about the mouth, there is a whole part of the gut and the digestive tract that we are completely neglecting, and it's the first part. So in order to get down here, everything has to go through here. It has to go through your mouth. So that's why I am really going to focus on what a dental detox looks like and what that looks like as far as how your mouth becomes transformed and your awareness around what's going on in your mouth. Because if you have decay in your mouth, if you have inflammation or angry tissues in your mouth, you've got those things in your body. And this is your sign to step into a better version of health for your mouth and for the rest of your body and really look at some of these things that are trying to show you there are opportunities to heal here. So when we think of the mouth, I think most people actually don't think about it too much at all because we collectively as a society, I think most people do a relatively good job of regularly brushing, and a lot of people regularly floss. And so the idea that at least when you get up and get ready for your day, you're brushing, and before you go to bed and shut down your day, you're brushing, and hopefully during one of those times, at least you're flossing. That idea of brushing twice a day and flossing has been sort of ingrained into the general public and almost just seems like a very ritualistic or habit-based practice now, which is great. But brushing and flossing, are those the only things that we can do to really step up our dental health game? And the answer is no. So why is it so important to really focus on and become aware of what's happening in your mouth? And one thing that I'm going to really stress here is exactly what your teeth are. And your mouth is obviously more than just the teeth, but we're going to start there for right now. And, you know, there's this idea now that a beautiful smile is really reflected in the appearance of the teeth, the color, the shape, you know, how comfortable you are smiling and sharing your smile with other people. And in a very superficial way, that's true. And there are also some deeper health aspects to that. But dental health comes from having your teeth. And ideally, it would be your own teeth. But what the teeth actually are, in my opinion, and this is based on the anatomy and physiology of teeth, is that they are each like small organs that exist inside of your mouth. So each one of your teeth, it has a blood supply within it, has blood vessels. It has a nerve supply within it. That's what allows you to feel in your teeth. And, you know, for some people, that means sensitivity. And there's a lymphatic system inside of your teeth as well, which helps to eliminate or drain toxins from the teeth. So all of these things exist within the teeth, and they connect to the blood vessels, to the nervous system, to the lymphatic system, in the rest of the body. So whatever is going on in your mouth and, you know, in or on your teeth is getting absorbed into the larger, you know, systemic drainage systems of your body. So we can't at all separate the mouth from the rest of the body. And I think this idea of really merging our mouths with not only our digestive system as a whole, but that would be a good start, but the body as a whole is a really good place to start and to just bring attention to. Now, the other idea when it comes to, you know, what's healthy and what's not healthy is this idea that bacteria are what are causing cavities. And bacteria is what is causing dental disease. And what I'm going to say is that is an idea that is very much based in germ theory. And it's a pretty simplistic or flatlined way to look at health or lack of health, disease. And there is really a very basic understanding of what's going on in the mouth and in the body if anyone's telling you it's bacteria that are causing disease. So in your mouth, there are over 700 different species living in there in a healthy state. So that includes bacteria, that includes fungi, that includes archaea, that includes, you know, you name it, it's in there. And I'm not going to focus on all the different types right now, but the idea is that when there's a disease, the quantities of, you know, with the good bacteria versus the bad bacteria shift, and that shift in quality and quantity of certain types of bacteria is what causes disease, such as cavities, such as periodontitis, such as gingivitis. So these are all different types of diseases that can present in your mouth. And my experience with that, as not only a dentist, but as somebody who actually worked in the private sector with a company to develop a test, and this is a long time ago, we developed a PCR test that was essentially meant to test for, you know, what qualities or quantities of bacteria were in patients' mouths who were presenting with very specific types of periodontal disease. So we would take samples from patients from all over. We would run them through the PCR. And then you get a gauge of, you know, what are the quantities of these specific bacteria that we are testing that are typically involved with disease. And we did this with not only diseased patients because, you know, you have to, when you're running a study or you're running a test, you want to make sure that your test is providing some level of accuracy. So you also run controls, but we would run this with diseased patients. So, you know, patients who were reported to have some kind of dental periodontitis. We would run this also with healthy patients who were going to dental offices and their dental health providers were saying, this patient's healthy, let's run a test for them and see what the bacterial populations are. And what I began to realize is that for some of the tests that we were running in the healthy patients, the numbers of certain bacteria that were supposed to be bad were very similar to the numbers of these bacteria in diseased patients. So the healthy patients had the same number and kinds of bad bacteria that our diseased patients had. And if you just really think about that, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense if the hypothesis is that bad bacteria cause disease. Because that would mean that people who had a certain amount and a certain kind of these bad bacteria would be diseased. And if that is not happening across the board, then your hypothesis or that idea that this disease is related only to bad bacteria, that sort of falls apart. So now, when we really consider what's causing disease in a person, in our patients, it is that there is not just any one thing. And it's certainly not that bacteria just decide to attack certain tissues and take over and destroy things. Because in healthy patients, these bacteria are just as present as they are in diseased patients. And, you know, when you're dealing with things like cavities, as an example, why does a cavity develop on a particular surface of a particular tooth versus a different surface on a different tooth when all of these teeth are in the mouth experiencing the same conditions? So I think the idea that, you know, bacteria are causing everything that's breaking down in your mouth, like brush, floss, and get rid of all of the bad bacteria, is an antiquated way to look at your dental health. So we need to really dive a little deeper, look a little harder, and start to think, what is a healthy mouth? What does that mean for me? And what are the steps that I can take to regain health or maintain my health? If, you know, if you're already in the state where your mouth feels amazing and you're just really looking to kind of up-level yourself. So if we're going to stop looking at bacteria only as the cause for dental disease, what are some other factors that really contribute to how healthy you are? One is your awareness around health, obviously, right? So if you're aware that the things that you do matter and the habits that you're developing matter and contribute to how healthy or unhealthy you are, that's a big factor for improving or maintaining health. And then two is diet. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. And three is just overall habits. So you can have awareness and you can focus on a certain dietary regimen. And then outside of that, with something like your dental health and with most aspects of your health, there are usually practices or protocols that you can implement, and they can be very simple, but as long as you are implementing them and adherent to them and, you know, you maintain some consistency with these things, they really transform your overall health. So we're going to eliminate that idea that it's just bacteria. We're going to focus on more systemic or holistic views here. And so there is a book that was written in the 50s, and it was written by a researcher, and I believe he was a medical researcher and a dentist, and they studied systemic or basically bodily causes to disease as related to the mouth. So it's a book full of studies that have been conducted a long time ago. I won't read the studies out to you, but if anyone is interested, it is called Dentinal Fluid Transport, and it was written by Steinman and Leonora. And as I said, it was published in the 50s, or a compilation of studies that were completed in the 1950s. But the main takeaway from this book is that there are hormonal causes as well for the breakdown of your teeth and for the start of dental diseases as a whole. So when you have hormonal imbalances in your body overall, and, you know, these come from a multitude of glands and then glandular secretions. But when those things are not well balanced, your dental health starts to suffer. So your teeth become less resilient against things that could cause cavities, and your tissues, so your gums, also become less resistant to things that can cause breakdown of tissue, and they become more inflamed and they tend to bleed more, and then you get areas that are sore. So these things are related to, you know, although they're happening here, related to things happening all over the body. So what I want to talk about now is, what are some ways that we can really focus on improving this area of our health? And what does that look like? What are the steps that we can take to, you know, getting these brilliant, beautiful smiles that we all want that are also reflective of a really healthy foundation for our digestive system and allow us to eat well, allow us to enjoy food, allow us to get really nutrient-dense things into our body, and then allow us to thrive in a physical sense. And our health is so much more than just physicality, but this is a really nice baseline step that we can take to make sure that our physical body is a really nice, clean, pure vessel for us to, you know, experience other things that allow us to have heightened senses of consciousness. Because if your physical body, as I said in the beginning, is decaying, is breaking down, is giving you signs of inflammation, of stress, then you're in a state of, so to speak, fight or flight, at least in some way. And for you to be able to step out of that empowers you to also be able to enjoy different levels of awareness, different levels of consciousness, and a different level of physical, spiritual, emotional, mental well-being that having all of those things trapped in your body is preventing you from currently experiencing. So let's get into it. Awareness. Let's bring some awareness to the fact that your mouth is a part of your digestive system and that we really need to cultivate healthy mouths, healthy teeth, really strong dental tissues. And when we do this, we create the beginning of a dental or a digestive tract, pardon me, that is well on its way to being able to properly break down food, properly allow us to extract nutrients from that food. We've got tissues in our mouth that are able to absorb the nutrients from that food. And then as it continues down throughout the rest of our digestive tract, the baseline health of our mouth and the microbiome in our mouth is regulated to a point where we're not introducing things that are disease-causing into the rest of our digestive tract. So that's really the key here, is that when you have a healthy mouth and things are well-balanced in your mouth and you've got, you know, homeostasis in your mouth, you've got bacterial populations that are cohesively working together to maintain health in your mouth, you're not transferring a lot of, you know, dysregulated interactions. So you don't have a lot of bacteria that are kind of fighting each other. You don't have a lot of inflammatory markers floating around in the bloodstream. You don't have a lot of immune cells that are trying to suppress things in your mouth, also traveling to other parts of your body, causing flare-ups or other sites of inflammation to occur. And you don't develop the problems that have been linked to poor dental health in the rest of your body. And I'll list just some of them, but this is now well established in the research literature that dental health or dental disease has been related to other diseases of the body. So cardiovascular issues, metabolic issues, inflammatory issues that are either neurodegenerative or another example would be rheumatoid arthritis. So there are other issues that can come up in pregnancy when somebody has poor dental health. You know, this has been linked to low birth weight babies. So it's pretty serious. And it's not to say that these things are all going to happen or will happen, but there is definitely a link between what's going on in your mouth and what's going on in the rest of your body. And there are a multitude of other conditions. I won't list them all here. The intention of this is not to scare anyone, but there are a lot of correlatory link. So, you know, we can't say that one causes the other, but there's a lot of correlation between inflammation in the mouth and a slew of other things happening in the body that really don't represent excellence in health. So if we can bring awareness to the fact that our dental health matters, that is really step one. Yeah. Step two, now that we have awareness, what do we do about it? So diet is an incredibly important part of our overall health, of course, but particularly of our dental health, because when your dental health is good and is reflected in the diet intake that you're consuming, you then kind of, you put yourself on this positive reinforcement wheel of good dental health comes from good nutrition, and good nutrition comes from good dental health. Because when you have a healthy mouth, when you have strong teeth, when you have strong supporting tissues, when you have good tissue absorption of good nutrients, those things all continue to lead to positive effects in the rest of your digestive tract and then in the rest of your body overall. So what is this mean? Like, what does good nutrition for your dental health and your overall health mean? And I'm going to bring your attention to this book. So Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. I love referencing this book. I love talking about it because to me, it's so interesting. But it was written by Weston A. Price, who was a dentist. He traveled all over the world in the 1920s and the 1930s. He published this book in, I believe, in the 1930s. So it's almost 100 years old. But he basically went around the world and he assessed people in different areas of the world. He assessed their diets and what they were consuming and then their levels of dental disease. So, you know, how many cavities they had, how many missing teeth they had, how many broken teeth they had, if they had inflammation in the gums, if they had inflammation in the periodontium. So he really looked at a lot of factors across a lot of different populations, and he tried to see what were some commonalities amongst people or populations that had bad dental health. And then that ultimately led to poor overall health. And what were some things that people who had really amazing dental health and seemed to have amazing overall health and development, what were they doing? And there is a lot of information in that book. But one key takeaway is that people with good dental health consumed whole foods, whole unprocessed food. So the more industrialized or developed areas, even in the 1920s and the 1930s, that were getting some form of processed foods. And you can imagine that if this was happening 100 years ago, you know, what do our processed foods look like today? Like, they're basically plastic and cardboard wrapped up that we're eating. There's almost no nutritional value in most of the packaged processed food that we get in North America. That's an aside, important one, but it's an aside. But he noticed that people consuming processed foods, refined sugars, refined grains, things with added sugar, added colorings, these types of foods, those people were the ones that were in a position of poor dental health and ultimately poor overall health. So that was a critical learning for him from going all over the world. And what has happened since this book was published is, one, this information has not been implemented into dental schools at all. So in 4 years of dental school, you get, at least in my experience, 0 minutes of nutritional education. And I don't think that that's uncommon. Like, I think that's pretty standard across the board. No one really talks to you as a dental student about nutrition and its importance in maintaining dental health. And then as you go into practice, there are few and far between really robust courses in how to train you as a dental healthcare professional to nutritionally guide patients. So does your dentist have this information? Maybe, but I wouldn't guarantee it because it's not something that is readily available through most educational channels. So this book has sort of paved the way for people in the dental world who are looking for natural or more holistic ways of guiding patients, or even just people who are patients themselves, regular people looking to enhance their dental health. So now we've got people like, I believe the name is Ramiel Nagel, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but the book that this person has written that I also really love is Cure Tooth Decay, Heal and Prevent Cavities with Nutrition. So this is an amazing book. If you are looking for suggestions for optimal diet to improve your dental health, and I would suggest, if this is something that seems like it's resonant for you and that you really want to take under advisement, and you're looking to, you know, optimize your overall health, improve your digestive health, and you believe that the first step to doing that is improving the health of your mouth, then get this book. Because depending on what you enjoy eating, your dietary constraints, your personal beliefs around food and around pharmaceuticals and around supplementation and those types of things, there are different pathways, I'll say, within the book that could be helpful or relevant for you. So I'm not going to read every single one of them. I don't think that's a good use of your time. But what I will do is I will reference some key points within this book that I think are important to consider. And I'll just start by saying that this book provides protocols that are meant to help you remineralize your teeth. So basically take your teeth from a place where the enamel, the really hard outer layer of your enamel, has softened, and bring back minerals inside the enamel that are naturally occurring and native to the enamel itself, and allow it to re-harden or remineralize, as the book says. Okay. So, nature's rules for healing teeth. Tooth decay is caused by environmental forces such as food. You have complete control over your diet. Dangerous, in quotations, bacteria are not the cause of cavities and do not randomly attack innocent victims. Our modern diet is deficient in fat-soluble vitamins and minerals needed for healthy teeth and bones. Tooth decay occurs when your body chemistry falls out of balance and your body sends hormonal signals that tell your teeth to stop remineralizing. Dental surgeons who treat the symptoms of dental disease with surgery have never promised to remineralize cavities or prevent future cavities. So just something interesting to keep in mind. And if you're looking for natural or more holistic approaches to improving your dental health, these are the things to consider. So some overall takeaways from the book and from the dietary plans that it suggests are really to include a high vitamin D and vitamin A containing oils such as cod liver oil, into your diet. Now, you want to use a high quality cod liver oil, and there are suggestions for that in the book. But vitamin D and vitamin A are fat soluble, and they're also necessary for bone and tooth remineralization. So they're key components that allow that hardening to occur. And with that, those tissues regain some resiliency to breaking down. So the idea here is that you wouldn't be as susceptible to cavities. The next takeaway is to consume protein throughout the day to balance blood sugar so that you are not constantly dealing with combating spikes or plunges in your blood sugar, and that remains relatively well regulated and you don't get leaching of certain minerals from calcified tissues like teeth, like bone. Avoid processed, denatured foods. So processed foods, foods that have been overheated, foods that have been overprocessed, processed foods. I would say processed foods at all, if that's possible. But I know for a lot of people, that is a tall order. And most of us, myself included, on some level, consume food that has undergone some level of processing. So minimize it. If possible, avoid it altogether, if that's realistic for you. And then lastly, eat food to increase mineral intake. And that can be done in the form of broths, like bone broths, different dairy products, and vegetables. And I will go through some overall takeaways from the book here because I do think they're important and they are usable and useful things that you can implement into your meal planning and your grocery shopping. So I'm going to go through those now. But the key thing here, and this does line up with a lot of things that are mentioned in, you know, gut rebalancing and microbiome rebalancing, is to really be mindful of your food choices. So things that you want to incorporate or at least have a greater awareness around as far as your dietary choices. So these are acceptable sweets that are listed here in the book. But unheated honey, organic maple syrup, stevia, so not stevia extract, but the actual herb, the stevia herb, and dates or fresh fruit juices. So not concentrate, not something that's been processed. Acceptable grains would include sourdough bread that has been made from unbleached flour, or partially milled rice. So again, we're trying to go for things that have undergone a minimal amount of processing or manufacturer-based industrialized chemicalization. So foods that are as natural as you can possibly get. Acceptable nuts and butters include nuts and butters that have been roasted or otherwise cooked. And this is at a low temperature. Acceptable fat, natural and organic, coconut oil, palm oil, olive oil, butter, lard, tallow, chicken, or duck fat. Acceptable dairy products are grass-fed, full-fat dairy products. Acceptable salts, Himalayan salt or Celtic sea salt. Acceptable soy products include soy sauce or miso. So those are unpasteurized forms of those things. And acceptable proteins would all be grass-fed. So whatever your protein of choice would be. Now, this book, I would say, places a lot of emphasis on certain meat requirements and to some degree some seafood requirements. So if you are not a meat eater, if you're a vegetarian, there are some alternative suggestions in here. So don't be scared off by the heavy focus on meat. The author does say in the book that I believe he was at one point a vegetarian for years and is now converted to eating meat and just feels that that for him has been a much better choice and is an advocate of that choice. So I personally am a vegetarian. A lot of the food recommendations in the book are not ones that I would necessarily take on, but I do appreciate a lot of the fat recommendations, a lot of the mineral salt recommendations. And, you know, there's just a lot of content in there that is at least directive enough as far as meal planning goes that it's worth my while to not only read it, keep it on my shelf, reference it time and time again, but also I think it's important given this conversation to share it. So now we've got some awareness around the fact that our mouths matter. We've got at least a plan or a direction for what we're going to include in our diet so we can really up-level our dental health. And we're going to focus lastly on products to use for getting things in order, getting things in a state of supreme health in your mouth. So what I'm going to say as far as product recommendations in general for your dental health, my recommendation is to stick to things that are naturally derived or have naturally derived ingredients in them, and as much as possible to use products that have natural fibers. And I will say that trying to find a toothbrush that has natural fibers is challenging. There are some of the manual toothbrushes that claim to be bamboo based. From what I've seen, a lot of those are plasticized bamboo. So there is like a plasticized or a resin-based coating that is mixed in with some percentage of bamboo to make them actually functional toothbrush bristles. And that level of processing, as far as I can tell, is just as destructive or non-sustainable as the nylon processing that has been, you know, made to be at this point quite efficient for the purposes of developing toothbrushes, because that processing is what every toothbrush manufacturer has been using for 100 years now. So that's not to say that you can't use a bamboo toothbrush, but if you're doing so because you believe it's 100% bamboo, just look into that, because there is a lot of greenwashing. And as far as I can tell, the ones that I have seen, as I said, are not entirely bamboo. And really generally, you want to avoid synthetics. You want to avoid any chemicals. You want to avoid products with additional soaps or surfactants that have been added to them. And you want to maintain or develop, if you don't have already, a consistent practice around what you're doing with your dental health. And I think this is pretty straightforward and standard for a lot of people. But just to say that if you're going to brush twice a day, then stick to brushing twice a day and flossing at least once a day. You can floss twice a day if you do it well and you're not too aggressive about it. But those are overall my recommendations. And so what does that mean as far as what products you should use? So natural products, okay. But is there anything in particular that you could be using? And in my experience, there are a couple of companies that I personally have used the products of that, as far as I can tell, are truly natural. Like, these companies produce their own raw materials and on their own farms. By the way, they're North American-based companies, one's in Canada, one's in the US. But because they're producing everything on their own, and it's almost like smaller batch production, you have a higher level of quality control. And in my experience, these companies are quite transparent about what they're doing and do offer truly natural resources. So one of them is called Living Libations, and I'll link this in the show notes. The other is Alpha Vedic, and they are a US-based company. Again, grow everything there on their farm and then they extract everything as purely and potently as they can. And they provide a tooth serum. So it's like a liquid form that you use on your, and you just, you know, pour it onto the brush that you're using. Living Libations does a tooth powder. So there are two different options available for you. There are a lot of natural toothpastes out there. So there are tons of products that are available. I would say if neither one of these seem like something you're interested in purchasing and you want to just buy something that is available, you know, at the drugstore or the grocery store that's most convenient for you, look at the label and just make sure that the product hasn't been greenwashed and that there are not actual chemicals in there of any kind that are allowing a certain level of shelf life and a certain capacity for, you know, the mouthfeel that a lot of people like in toothpaste, which is that like bubbliness or that soapiness. So you don't need that to clean your mouth well. It's something people like, and it's something that toothpaste manufacturers know people like and look for. And because of that, they put chemicals in toothpaste to give you that bubbly feeling that, you know, a lot of people enjoy, and they still call them natural toothpaste. So just, you know, be careful about the products that you're choosing. I also have a tooth powder that I make. And if anyone listening is interested, if you would like the recipe to the tooth powder I've developed that I use and I personally really love, I would happily share that. So you can reach out via email and I can send you a recipe for what I use and the products that I use, like the raw materials that I use for that. And I will just say to quickly add, I mean, these natural products that I've suggested and even the one that I make include hydroxyapatite in them. And hydroxyapatite is one of the key elements in your enamel that make it really hard. So there is actually a natural element to these products that is found in your own teeth that can help strengthen it. And that's something that is not present in a lot of commercially available toothpaste. Like most of them do not have hydroxyapatite, just as an FYI. So the fact that these products do goes to show that there is a little bit more intention to honor nature and honor what is naturally occurring in our bodies. And then as far as floss goes, once again, a lot of flosses are some form of polyester or Teflon. And even if they say that they're natural, it's usually like a wax coat of some kind, like a plant-derived wax or a beeswax over top of a polyester or a Teflon. So in my experience, that's most flosses that I have tried out there. Living Libations does make a silk threaded floss, and it is a naturally occurring silk thread. It's a natural floss. It's the most natural floss that I have ever used or come across. I will say there is no coating on it. Like it's pretty raw feeling, pretty rough feeling. So it doesn't feel as nice as most commercial flosses do. So I'll say that. It's natural. It works well. If you have tight contacts, it'll be, you know, take a little bit of work to get it in there. But they do offer that. I have used it and I liked it. But I would say that it is something that takes getting used to because it doesn't feel the same as regular floss feels. So I hope that in, you know, all of this information, I've conveyed that there is such value in honoring yourself, honoring your mouth, honoring your dental health, and really taking as natural and as holistic an approach to doing that, because that is the gateway to the rest of your body. And your mouth, not only is it the gateway to the rest of your digestive tract, but it really allows you to speak your truth out into the world And the healthier your meal, the more aligned with health things are in your mouth, the more aligned with health the rest of your body will be. And, you know, ultimately, if you could have a mouth and you could have teeth that reflect health and beauty and vitality, and you could share that really confidently with the world, what is more beautiful than that for setting you up to step into a really healthy, really vibrant, and just a really beautiful version of the person you are meant to be here in the world? So I'm going to leave you with that. You were born to be superhuman. Thank you for listening. And I look forward to chatting with you again next time.